Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio. My name is Mike Abendroth, and I regularly like to start the show by moving my glasses to my forehead and just looking outside. What do I see here in West Boylston? Well, today I see green trees. I see an asphalt parking lot that's falling apart. We're doing poorly on our curb appeal for seeker-sensitive parking lot has to be deluxe project. And it is pouring rain. I'm not sure what the tropical storm is named that's working its way up here, but it is raining a lot. I would call the storm Jezebel, but then I'd probably get in trouble for calling the storm a female name, and the Jezebel incident in 1 Kings was no rain involved, so I better not do that. You can write us at info at nocompromiseradio.com. You can go to Facebook, you can go to iTunes, you can go to nocompromiseradio.com, you can go to NoCo 90 on YouTube. I get in trouble there on a regular basis. Coming up here at Bethlehem Bible Church, we have Pat Abendroth as a guest speaker. That is my brother, my younger brother, 9 years my younger. It's one of my all-time favorite things, by the way, to have Pat and I in the same room together, and we're just hanging out. We get along well. We're friends, comrades in ministry, and I like it when people ask if we're twins because he is 9 years younger. So, I don't think I really look like I'm 44 years old, but maybe Pat looks older and wiser than he really is. I'm not sure. But he'll be here at the church October 4th and 5th. October 4th is a men's session that Friday night, 2013, followed by a Q&A with Pat and myself. And then Saturday, three sessions of the title of the conference is Behold the Lamb, talking about the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. Then he'll be preaching here on October 6th, and that is 2013. So if you'd like to go to the website, you can do that, bbcchurch.org, or maybe we'll put it on No Compromise as well. Today is an interesting day, and so I'm going to talk about spiritual leadership. The leadership's report card. Ministry is tough. Ministry is rewarding. Ministry is for the soft-hearted but very calloused. What do I mean by that? I guess I mean that you've got to have thick skin. That's what I was after. I was after thick-skinned but warm-hearted. We can go to 1 Thessalonians, and Paul can give us some insight into ministry, especially ministry that is attacked. How do you know your ministry is biblical? Let's say you're a layperson listening today, and you'd want to know if your pastors are doing the right thing. After all, some key people in the church have just left. There's a cloud of doubt, because when people leave churches, there are questions. And by the way, on a side note, when you leave a church, there's a right way to leave. There's a wrong way to leave. And you also have to ask yourself the question, what kind of impact will my leaving have on the church? But anyway, all kinds of attacks in ministry, and people are wondering, is my church leadership, are my church leaders biblical? Can I trust them? That's the bottom line today on No Compromise Radio. Can I trust my pastors? Can I trust my elders? If it's a big church, do I trust the people? Because they must know what they're doing if there's a lot of people there. Maybe if I'm friends with the pastor, I can trust him more because, you know, I know who he is. But Paul deals with this very issue. There were people in Paul's day who were after him and would say things about him. And so Paul responds with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, how do you recognize real ministry? So if you're a pastor today, an elder, a leader, hopefully this will be encouraging to you. And if you're a lay person, I especially want to calm your fears when people leave the church, or there's a bump in the road, or there's a problem, or there's an issue, and you say to yourself, my pastors have given me no reason to not trust them, and now one family, two family, three families, I don't know, half the church is left. And so who's right? And do I leave as well? And so Paul takes up his purpose, or at least one of the purposes of writing 1 Thessalonians, and that is to vindicate his ministry. Now, he hates to do that. Lots of times I don't say anything in ministry because I don't want to vindicate myself. I don't want to speak for myself. I don't want to stand up for myself. But for Paul, underneath the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he tries to defend himself. He doesn't try to. He does defend himself. And lots of times people will say things that will attack the character of the preacher, of the elders, of the leaders. Why? Well, if the pastor is a biblical pastor, if he's a godly pastor, if the leaders do what they're supposed to do, then you can't criticize what they teach. Then you say, well, you know what? They've got ulterior motives. They've got something else going on here behind the scenes. Let's attack the person. Let's attack their character. What they say and what they do seems to be right, and so let's attack them, attacking people in pastoral ministry. As one of the commentators says here in 1 Thessalonians 2, it's hard to put the pieces of this puzzle together to know exactly who was after Paul. Robert Thomas said, suggestions have been heretical pseudo-apostles as found in Corinth and Galatia, Judaizers, spiritual enthusiasts, Gnostics, and Jews. And so we're not really sure. It remains a mystery. But we do know this. We do know people wanted to destroy Paul's ministry, and they would accuse him of all kinds of things. And they're going to hurt the church because they're after the leadership. And so you can study a little bit in Acts chapter 17 to see what was going on there with attacking the house of Jason and dragging Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities. And remember what they were saying, that there is another king, Jesus. These people, these Christians, they're not worshiping Caesar. And so Paul is addressing the Thessalonians, who have maybe gotten caught up in some of these kind of things. One thing I do know, ministry is hard going. There are great rewards to gospel ministry, and there are difficulties. And so what do we do when troubles come our way as pastors? Well, I think second chapter of 1 Thessalonians is good for us. And what if you're at a church and you've got some questions about the leadership and you're not sure you really trust them because some people are leaving? By the way, let me say from the outset, especially as I've been able to talk to pastors and help them, and I have a variety of pastor friends, and I'll get phone calls from people or emails from other pastors, people leave churches. And so people in ministry responsibilities leave churches. And so it's not something that's strange or odd or a rarity. It happens all the time. And so you need to be able to trust your leaders, to sit under your leaders, to biblically gauge your leaders. I'm not saying there's never a time that you shouldn't say, this doesn't match up. But I am saying there's a way to recognize real gospel ministry, and we're going to look at that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so let me give you a series of questions that you could ask yourself that are derived from the text. One, What have you personally observed in your leadership? So remember, there's trouble somehow in the church, and the trouble could be people are leaving, there's a split, there's someone slandering or questioning the leadership. Maybe there's a decision that's been made that you don't like either that makes you think of other things. And isn't that sad, the way we do things as Christians? And leaders could do this certainly as well. And instead of thinking the best, we what? We sometimes think the worst. So the first thing that Paul does here in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain." You yourselves know. You know what happened. And so Paul is now trying to focus the reader's attention to this very fact that they know who Paul was and what he did while he was there at Thessalonica. He reminds them of what he did when he first got there. You know, chapter 2, verse 1. You know, verse 2. You know, verse 5. You know, verse 11. You remember, verse 9. You are witnesses, verse 10. You know what I was when I was there among you. You know my actions. You know my deeds. You know my motivations. You know my attitude. And you've got people who are critical saying things about me, but you know better. Stop and think. So if you're at a church and there's some kind of issue with a leader or leaders, what have you personally observed? Instead of you listening to what the gossip chain, the slander emails, and the sin of Facebook, sin book, maybe we should call it. I can't believe what is said on Facebook about other people in general, and especially leaders. By the way, Facebook has been used to split a lot of churches, and it's a good way to sin and slander not just other people, but leadership as well. I'm just appalled by it. Verse 1 says, "For you yourselves know." Over the years, if you're at a church and your pastors have been, of course, not sinless, of course, not without ever sinning. I mean, your pastors are people. Your pastors are normal human beings, yes, gifted by God and should set examples of gospel ministry and what Christ-like ministry and shepherding is. But over the years, look at their track record. What have you seen in your leadership? Is there anything that you have seen or witnessed to make you think poorly of your leaders? People are leaving. So let's just say there's a church of 100 people. Three families go. And so what's the default? The default too often and sadly is for other sheep get scared. Well, three families have left, and one happens to be the chairman of this particular committee, and the other one happens to be a very faithful worker behind the scenes, and another lady is the lady that runs Awana and VBS, or I don't know. And so these families leave, and so, oops, good families leave. Leadership must be at fault. There's a problem here. So what Paul is doing, in a similar kind of situation, the integrity of Paul is being attacked. We're not exactly sure, and maybe it's better that way because then it seems to apply in many more circumstances today and throughout the centuries. Have you seen anything in your leaders over the years? Because certainly sin will eventually seep out, right? You can't just contain it. God will expose it. And so what have you seen? Don't default to some people have left, therefore the leadership is doing the wrong thing. Paul says, "My ministry to you was what? Not in vain." It wasn't empty. It wasn't empty of results. It wasn't empty of substance. It wasn't empty of doctrine. It wasn't empty of character. It wasn't empty of what God requires. The word empty, it's a simple word. It just means if you have a glass jar and it's empty. And so we use the words empty-handed, empty words. For Paul, he said, "When I came because of the Spirit of God working through me, it wasn't a failure." Remember what happened? Remember how you used to worship things like Gentiles did and You ought to worship, you were worshiping things and people wrongly. And now what? The Lord used me, yes, but it was me. I came here, and you're different people. You're changed. You think differently. You act differently. Paul is not saying, of course, that he is the agent of change, the Spirit of God. He is the agent of change. But true teachers have disciples who grow because this is God's ordained way. Of course, God gets all the credit for when things go well, and we take all the blame for when we sin, of course. But the false teachers will come in, and there's going to be no growth. There's going to be vanity. There's going to be empty set, our null, and there's going to be no truth, no power. Paul said, when I came to you, you're growing. And so if you're at a church and some people are leaving or there's some problem somehow in church, well, first of all, don't be surprised, because if Jesus is building the church, Satan is going to try to tear down the church. And sometimes people get caught up into that. Actually, sometimes good people get caught up into tearing down the church. It's not good that they tear it down, but they get caught up in it. And that's just what happens. Sadly, you don't want to be a part of that. Part of me longs for the day for when I'm older and maybe retired from gospel ministry as a full-time job, and I'm seated on the maybe second or third row, and I'm retired. Let's just say I'm 75 years old, and there's some trouble in the church, because there's always going to be seasons and eras and times of trouble, and then everybody's scurrying around. What do we do? How do we act? Who's right? Oh, there's some families leaving. Well, what happens then? Then I hope people will look over at me and my wife and say, Pastor, he's not concerned. He's staying. And then I can say, do you know what? This is what we do in gospel ministry. We're not going anywhere. We're staying. If you say, well, yeah, what if there's sin in the leadership? Aren't you going to go? Well, if there's sin in the leadership, then we're going to do what the Bible says to do with sinful leaders. We don't leave. That's not the solution. False teachers, it says of them in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for among them are also those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith, but they will not make further progress, note that, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. So, think about it. If there's issues at the church, Paul says, Thessalonians, remember, I was there. My ministry hasn't been void of conduct. I showed you who Jesus was. I taught you from the scriptures. How do you recognize real gospel ministry? What have you observed personally in your leadership? Question number two. My name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, recognizing the real McCoy, real gospel ministry. And in the day and age where there's lots of attacks in gospel ministry, I guess there's always attacks, what do we do when the leaders are attacked? Do we jump on the bandwagon and attack? Do we question their authenticity, their validity? Or do we do what 1 Thessalonians would teach us? Question two, have your leaders boldly proclaimed to you the word of God and the gospel of Christ? In other words, don't forget your leader's message. Paul says in verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Here's what Paul says. In good days, I preached Christ. In tough times, I preached Christ. I did what I said I would do when I would eventually write 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. I preached Christ Jesus. I didn't shrink from declaring the whole purpose of God. as he would write elsewhere. And what do bad leaders do? To who do they preach? They preach themselves. They preach the gospel and. They preach moralism. They preach philosophy. They preach psychology. They preach book reviews. Paul says, no, I preach the word. And even if there is shameful treatment of me, even if I have to suffer, I'm going to preach the gospel. Even if there's much conflict, notice that in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, much conflict, not just conflict, but much conflict. It doesn't matter what the threat is, I am going to preach the Bible. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as you know. This is what you know. And so no matter what comes along, have your pastors been faithful to preach Jesus Christ from the pulpit? That's the question. That's not what false teachers do. That's what godly pastors do. That's what godly elders do. Paul can go to Philippi and get thrown in jail and feet in stocks, but he's still going to preach. He can be persecuted by folks, and he's still going to boldly preach. He says in Philippians chapter 2, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice together with all of you. There's trouble, but I still preach. When there are troubled times in a local church, what do your leaders do? They still just keep preaching. They realize they're not in it for numbers and for success. They want to be faithful. And so there are seasons in a church where everything's wonderful. Your pastor should be preaching Christ crucified and not themselves. And there are times when there's trouble. And what should the church do? This is internal strife. This could be persecution. This is some gay marriage constitutional deals coming down the pike. What do we do? Well, the pastors just keep preaching the word. And aren't those kinds of pastors the ones that you want to follow? You say, well, do I follow the people that went over here? Well, I'm just telling you, in general, if you say to yourself, you know, there's trouble, what do I do? Well, what did you observe in the life of your elders at the local church, and have they taught you the Bible? Do they preach Christ crucified? Because false teachers, when there's trouble, they run from that. They're going to change their message. They're not going to do what Paul did when he said in Colossians 1:24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my physical body for the sake of his body, the church, what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Remember what Jesus said? The hired hand who is not a shepherd and does not own sheep sees the wolf coming and abandons the sheep and runs away. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. So he runs away. I, Jesus said in John 10, am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So what does Paul do? Paul distinguishes himself from the false teachers by saying he still preached the word even though he was treated shamefully and abused. He preached the gospel no matter what. If there's trouble in your church, and one day there will be, sadly, who are you going to follow? Men who will sing hymns while they're in jail for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul, or for other people. Oh, yeah, they'll say, Paul ran away. He's not here anymore. Paul said, when I was there, you saw me, and I've been persecuted, but I still keep preaching. So we're going to have to go to part two next time, but my name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio, and I think there are some wonderful insights in the book of 1 Thessalonians to help us with leadership. And what do we do? Please pray for your leaders. If you're a leader, please fulfill your duty in gospel ministry. There's a good article written by Kevin DeYoung on quit whining. If you're a pastor or you're an elder and you're always complaining about being a leader, Kevin DeYoung's advice is quit whining. I think he quotes, or somebody has quoted Oswald Chambers is that's the chief sin among leaders, whining. But that's for another story. My name is Mike Abendroth, info@nocompromiseradio.com. And you can write us there. Part two next time, 1 Thessalonians and leadership.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.